you could start the recordings, please.
Recordings are in.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the IRTP Part D Working Group call on the 3rd of March, 2014. On the call today, we have Volker Grimmon, Mikey O'Connor, Angie Graves, Barbara Knight, James Bladell, Graham Bunton, Kristen Dorian. We have apologies from Holly Raich, Paul Diaz, and Avery Doria. From staff, we have Amy Bivens, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Terry Agnew. I'd like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Okay, thank you, Terry, and welcome everyone to the IRTPD working group call for today, March 3rd, and we are about ready to put a exclamation point on our initial report, and hopefully you had a chance to see one or more of the drafts that were circulating on the mailing list last week and over the weekend. And Mikey, I think you were the last one to hold the pen, so I just wanted to check and make sure that that is the, and to Lars, I guess, that is the draft that we are working on today that's displayed. It's the one that contains Mikey's head. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Although Mikey's edits, and I spoke to Mikey with that off list, because we're working on the same draft at the same time, I've copied and pasted them into this, so they're not marked as Mikey's comments, but they're all in there as he corrected them.
Okay. So my, I'm sorry, I did skip the usual pro forma request that if anyone has any updates to their statements of interest or any serious objections to the draft agenda, please raise your hand now. And I didn't see one, so thanks. Sorry for that. I was so excited to jump in and get this thing rolling that I skipped that important but somewhat routine piece of business. Okay, so my recommendation then for everyone is that we just go through this latest draft, focusing at this point on the changes that were submitted during the last week from previous draft. And if we can get everyone on board with these changes, then I believe we are ready to wrap this one up with a ribbon and submit it to council. That would mean it would be ready for public comment in Singapore, and you know, basically that would start the train down the track. Does anyone have any serious heartburn with that approach? Or is everyone as excited as I am to get this thing to the next checkpoint? Okay, seeing no hands then. Oh, Mikey, go ahead.
Sorry, I spazzed out. I was trying to agree. Never mind.
Okay, so Mikey agrees, and I assume silence from everyone else is roaring agreement that they also want to see this moving along. So, Lars, if you could scroll us through the first substantive change. I believe everyone has scroll access. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So can you take us to where would be the first material changes? It looks like they would be on page 3.
Sorry, I was going to read. Yeah, I think so. This is, the executive summary on page 3. What I did here is basically copy and pasted the recommendation. So I suggest that we skip over that, and if there's any changes to the recommendation in the actual text, I will then change that later on up here. I think that might be the easiest.
That's a fair point, and I should also point out that I said substantive changes, and these are just, I think, just more tweaking of the language, the things that I added on the 26th. Okay, yeah, so
you are James. I just think very briefly. You was you can still hear me. You was on page 8. I just scrolled everybody there. Those are the first changes. I'm gonna sync. So I don't know if
there was one change on page 8 here. I think it would just for clarity, and I want to make sure, just double check that it says the initial report will be posted for public comment for a minimum of 30 days. And then I took out the word including a 21-day reply period because it sounded like those would be running concurrently, and those are not correct. So I just want to make sure everybody's okay with that, correct?
Yeah, thank you, James. That's great.
Okay, so I just wanted to make sure I had my calendars and my sequence accurate. So, and then I always capitalized draft just to kind of, I don't know, because I felt like it was a name here, and then change suggested to recommended. I think that was in keeping with the idea that these are recommendations. So nothing huge here on these pages. Can we go to, another minor change. Oh, go ahead.
I think that's the next minor change. Now, let's go through quickly on page 19, the approach of the working group.
Okay. Nothing major there, I believe. Just a note that our work plan was not static, that we revised it as necessary. And then just as a more of a administrative note, will we have the attendance figures in the initial, or is that TBD for the final?
I actually would have to check in a different report. I'm not entirely sure. But we have them on record, so I can just put them in and asterisk it and say that's up until and inclusive the call for the initial report.
Okay, fantastic. And I think maybe just making sure that the total number of meetings may also need to be updated.
Yeah.
And whether or not that counts workshops held during the ICANN meeting. Okay. So anyone, I'm kind of keeping one eyeball on the queue to see if anyone is jumping up and down with any questions here. If not, I assume that everyone just is either so thrilled with these changes or so bored as not to care. But I think the key message is that if you do see something that you feel makes a significant change to the report and not in a positive direction, please raise your hand. Or get my attention, or just barge in on the line, anything at this point, because we are going so relatively quickly. Okay, Lars, what's the next one? Yes, so this is just, again, readability, minor stuff, processed instead of dealt with. Next.
James,
okay, this looks actually... Go ahead.
No, you made a comment here. I think you added the on the authenticate related bullet point in the second to last sub-bullet. I believe you added to register name holder or administrative contact, transfer contact. And then you wrote a comment thinking that might be correct and we need to check or verify. I spoke to compliance over the weekend. And they said, and I looked it up on the IRTP data as well, that it's actually just the registered name holder that is sent the auth info code. I think where the confusion might have come in is that the registered name holder can appoint somebody else to receive the auth info code. That could be anybody, including an administrative contact or including some person that has nothing to do otherwise with the claim. But the RTP in Section 5, there's a link also in my comments, states that it's the registered name holder only that has to be contacted.
Okay. So do we need to account for that other case here? The registrar sends the auth info code to someone who is not the registered name holder, comma, or authorized by the registered name holder? Or do we just leave it the way you had it before?
Well, they suggested, compliance suggested to just put a full stop after registered name holder
okay.
Because that's the wording. They will accept somebody else, but that's not actually the policy, the authorized contact person. So
okay.
They suggest to put it in there after, to end up the name holder, but I think it, as far as I can tell, I don't think it would hurt to put the addition in as well. I think it's up to the group.
I think I like Mikey's language that he posted in the chat, or their designee. I think that's simple, but, you know, without overburdening this poor little bullet point here, we can just throw that in there and call it good, because it does acknowledge that there may be some edge cases. So good catch on that one, Mikey. And I saw a green check mark, I thought, from Barbara, and I think that was to full stop, or was that for voting for the designee or something in between? Barbara, are you okay with that? Or?
Hi, James. This is Barbara. I'm okay with either way. I was fine at just leaving it as, you know, a period after the registered name holder as well. But if we want to go further and if Lars and the compliance staff are okay with adding or their designee, I'm okay with that as well.
Okay, thanks. Let's do that then, Lars. So then I'm going to see if we can get to the next.
Was I too quick? This, on page 29, I think it's the next paragraph. That's the copy and pasted paragraph. So some of that is all text, but that's what Mikey edited, and so I pulled it all over, and that's why all of it appears to be new. But it's not all of it that is actually new. That might be useful
okay. If
you read through it quickly.
Yes, I was going to turn it over to Mikey and ask if he would read us through these this language that he's added here. Mikey, would you mind?
Yeah, although I was just making some minor changes. So why don't we skip this one and come back to it, and I'll drag up my copy because I haven't got that open, and that way I can highlight the things that I actually changed rather than drag us through the whole thing. I don't think I made big changes. I think they were mostly readability, but let me get that up. So if I could take a pass on this and come back. I should have it by the next one.
Nope. No problem. We'll just circle back then. Lars, what's the next one? Are these more of the same?
Yeah, it's just that I just want to highlight this very quickly. So, first of all, there's the bold with the asterisks, noting that the group would like to encourage feedback on these particular issues. And then also I added on the preliminary level of consensus and expected impact, or these sentences to all of the charter questions, indicating that the level of consensus, because initial report is not yet determined, and that for the impacted impact, I think we can have another discussion on that, maybe on the next call or maybe even in Singapore, how we go forward, especially with Mikey in regard to the BMPM data matrix and policy-making working group that kind of feeds into what kind of expectations the group might have of the recommendations, what they should achieve. So I put basically an asterisk in there and said if there's public comment on the issue, what the community thinks should be achieved by the recommendations, it also would be welcomed by the working group. But I think this is in line with other initial reports whereby explicit expected impact of the recommendation was formulated during the initial report, but rather during the final report.
Okay. No concerns there, I guess. I just more a question. Let me pull this. I think I got a little pop-up coming up here. Mikey, did you want to either tackle this one or even circle back to the last one? Go ahead.
This is Mikey. I had just a minor point on this. The nomenclature ND, I finally learned today from Lars the meaning. I'm not sure I can repeat the words, but we might want to change that to note or something a little bit easier for non-academic types to understand. I'm getting a tick mark on that from Lars. We really do want to draw people's attention to this, and I think ND, just at least for me, I just didn't know what that meant. So that's my only thought on those at this stage. Do you want me to go back to the prior one? If you do,
if you're ready.
Yeah, I finally dug it up. What I was doing is struggling. Lars, if you could yank us back to that prior section that I, so that people can follow along. What I was let's see, this is on page 26 of the Word draft. Maybe I can just get us there. I'll get us there.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. That middle paragraph, I just struggled with the wording. It was, and the result that I wound up with, I'm not terribly happy with. It's just long, awkward sentences that I was trying to shorten, and I wasn't trying to change the meaning at all. Especially that last sentence, I reworked pretty hard, and so I think it's the second paragraph, the one that starts, "Since the statute of limitation is important," read that one carefully, folks, and see if we can live with it. I just struggled a bit with that. And if people are okay with my revising, then I think we're fine.
So, Mikey, just to clarify, this is, we noted that we would have to beef up the section where we were extending or recommending the extension of any sort of window to dispute a transfer from 6 months to 12 months. And we were just acknowledging as a group that that could generate a lot of questions or criticisms or pushback from the community. So we should at least be mindful of what we were saying to justify it. And it seems here that you're trying to point this to the fact that by extending that window to 12 months, it would ensure that there was at least one WHOIS data reminder policy sent during that 12-month window, which could mitigate the multi-hop transfer problem. And I don't have really any heartburn about the language that you have here. I'm just clarifying that that's what we're doing, right?
Yeah, that's right, James. This is Mikey again. And, I think that if I were, if I'd had more time, I might have been able to just make the language clearer. Lars, I thought, did a fine job of drafting the paragraph, but it, you know, I was mostly just chopping the sentences up a bit to make them easier to read. And
okay.
So if that comes through clearly enough for people, then I think we're good.
I understood it fairly well. Christine has pointed out that there's a typo in the first use of statute in the first paragraph.
The statute of limitation. You know, we could use a statute of limitation around our house.
Yeah. Okay, I don't see, the villagers with the torches and the pitchforks about this language, so I guess we should consider it acceptable and include it in our document, and we can move on.
James, this is Mikey again. Just roll down one page. I'm going to sync you to it. You made a comment in your edits that said, should we note that prohibiting transfers within 60 days of previous transfer, reason for denial, was discussed in C or B or something and did not have consensus report? And I replied to that saying, I think we had that conversation in B, but then we added something similar to that in C. And so I don't want to lose that question that you...
C provides the mechanism for an opt-out for change of registrant. I was thinking about, it must have been B then, where we were talking about making that currently optional NACing of a transfer request by a registrar within 60 days from previous transfer. It's currently optional. We talked about making that required, and that went over like a lead balloon. So I just wanted to note, because I feel like the recommendation begs the question, well, why don't you just prohibit this? Why don't you just say you can't transfer during 60 days? And the answer is, or at least standardize it so that registrars do this uniformly. And the answer is, well, we examined that, and it was not accepted. So, yeah, I'm
you're
not
right,
sure
James.
Where to
that was indeed in B, and
it was in B. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where to shoehorn this in. Perhaps we. Leave your edits as they are, and Lars, do we want to note here that there is an existing? Let's highlight this, Lars. We're going to have to wordsmith it a little bit here if we're going to capture it, or we just throw it overboard and say it's a nice observation, but we don't. We don't really need it. Or, Mikey, are you saying you think that we should try and capture it somewhere?
This is Mikey. I think that if you read that, at least the way I was reading that paragraph, which is right at the top of page 30 on the screen, is that in C we have a requirement that in an inter-registrant transfer, the registrar does indeed have a 60-day lock requirement. But that's an artifact of C. In B, we had a broader discussion that said under any transfer, there's a 60-day requirement, and that did not get consensus. So my thought was that we could just leave this as it stands, because it points to the policy that's in C for a 60-day lock in an inter-registrant transfer. That's where we found the consensus. And then the way we got to the consensus was we said if a prior registrant really wants to move in a hurry, this was the whole discussion about in the case of a domain name sale, for example, the prior registrant could opt out of this. You know, that's just to sort of refresh the discussion. So, you know, I think that paragraph stands on its own. I don't think it needs the additional comment, but I wouldn't be adverse to putting in one that said, by the way, in B, we tried to do it across all registrations, are all transfers, and that did not arrive at consensus. I think that's an accurate retelling of the tale.
Okay. Okay. Lars, why don't you and I maybe take a stab at just not modifying anything that Mikey's added here, but just tacking on a sentence here, noting that that a broader prohibition on transfers within 60 days of previous transfer was attempted in IRTPB, but did not, or was discussed or considered, but did not have consensus or support or something. And we'll make sure that we make the distinction between the two and not change what Mikey has here. Does that work? The green check mark from Lars. Does that work, Mikey?
Yep, this is Mikey. That's fine.
Okay, awesome. All right, Lars, if you could take us to the next changes here. Ooh, we're scrolling. Okay, so there were quite a few changes. We're now in page, I'm not sure what page we're on. I lost page numbers. Okay. And I think that... So I made some changes here, and then I think Mikey did as well. So, Lars, can you reconcile those two and walk us through, please?
I'm not sure Mikey made changes on this. I mean, obviously, in fact, the preliminary level of consensus is so and so forth is the same paragraphs as above as mentioned.
Okay.
And then you made some word changes to the elaboration on why the removal of the registry layer may be what the thought behind it was and what the advantages and disadvantages of that may be, so that the community has some idea on or some guidance on the thinking of the working group, and that might help them formulate their recommendations on or their comment rather on the idea of removing or not removing the registry level.
Okay, thanks, Lars. I remember this now, and I think I was thrown off by the fact that this was in blue text, so I thought I was, I thought I had made some changes, and then Mikey came in and made some other changes on top of it. But I remember this now, and just in general, what I was attempting to do was wordsmith this bit a little bit here about, for context, what the pluses and minuses would be to removing the registry layer, in that it would flatten this process. It's a rare process. It would not, it does not necessarily warrant the training and maintenance and the operational costs associated with keeping it operational at the registry level. However, moving it purely to the second level would significantly change the economics of this dispute process. And that, you know, we should consider whether or not that's an unacceptable barrier to access to the 7 to 12 people that actually use it on an annual basis. But regardless, that was the kind of thinking here. And Mikey, you're up next.
Thanks, James. It's Mikey. Yeah, I did make a couple of comments or changes, but they're incorporated into Lars's. And mine were all readability. There was no substantive change to what I did in there.
Okay, thanks, Mikey. I think that really all of this is readability at this point. I don't think that we've really introduced anything particularly novel here. So, but there were a lot of changes, and it looks a little confusing. So I want to make sure the working group is still on board with this concept in our discussions, and that this is an accurate synopsis of the pluses and minuses of this change, or this recommended change. I see Barbara with a green check mark. That's an important voice when we talk about registries, so thank you, Barbara. And Volker as well. Okay, so I think we could move on, Lars.
Yeah, thank you, James. I think that was it from the changes that you provided. There's obviously, as I said, the different paragraphs on the preliminary level of consensus for all the recommendations, and then sorry, it's moving slowly now because there's things I'm going to unsync. And then I added here under 6.1 the initial public comment period and request for input. So that talks about the background of the working group, that, you know, it's no longer part of the recommendations sections. So this was added. There was text taking. I went through that with Marika with parts of it, and then the conclusion and next steps on number 7. You know, it's again something that will be finalized with the final report, not at this stage.
Okay. Sounds good. Can you scroll up just one moment here? I had one thought, and then I'll go to Mikey. And we talked about reaching out to other SOs and ACs, and we list them here. Have we done that recently, or was that more at the beginning of the process? And if so, do we need to do that again, you know, in conjunction with publishing this report? I think just looking for some clarity on that.
If I may, we've sent this out at the very beginning. It's traditionally done, letters being sent out to the SO and ACs and to the stakeholder groups and constituencies too, at the beginning of the group's work. So I think it was in February, March last year. And with the initial report and the opening of the public forum, another letter will be sent out to the ESO's ACs and the stakeholder groups and constituencies to make them aware of the opening of the public forum and encourage them to submit comments.
Okay. Thanks, Lars. And then Mikey, go ahead.
My question was about a different section. So if we're comfortable with this, I can take you to that. But if you want to keep working on 6.1, stay with that, James.
I think I'm good with 6.1. So
okay.
Whatever's next on your
list. Lars, could you take us back to the preliminary level of consensus sections? Because those were new for me, and I'm not sure that we need to talk about that right now. It said something like rough consensus. I guess I can just roll back myself. On this page, it says we have rough consensus, and
sorry, Mike. Yeah, if I may, just very briefly. I think I know what you're referring to. Under for charter questions B and C, the wording is slightly different because due to the fact that the group seems to be less unified, let's say, on the recommendations. I didn't speak about consensus level at all there, I believe. As you can see here, the text, the text is slightly different for the questions that we're seeking specific, or we're calling for specific input from the community. So in those four questions, that there seems to be rough consensus, that's what I've mentioned, and those two questions where we are calling specifically for input, I've worded it slightly differently and just said there has no consensus level has been determined yet. But I mean, I'm obviously happy to change it as ever you see fit. I just thought that reflected best where we're standing at the moment.
Yeah, this is Mikey again. Thanks, Lars. I just need to contemplate that for a minute because I'm uncomfortable as a co-chair whose duty it is, along with James, to do the assessment of consensus. I'm uncomfortable just breezing through those without talking about it and thinking about it and checking with the group. I'm also uncomfortable doing that on the fly on this call, and I'm aware of our deadline. So I am thinking that I sincerely wish that Avery was on the call because she would be the person I would direct this question to. I think what we want to do is essentially have the same language in each of these. And I think that the language is the one that you've got in 5.2.3.3, the one that I can see on my screen. We have not yet determined the consensus level, but we'll do it after the public comment. Because we haven't. We haven't done the consensus call, and I'm a little uncomfortable characterizing it differently than that. James, any thoughts on that?
I guess maybe I'm not entirely following you, Mikey. I'm trying to see what the language in blue. I don't have a problem with it. I'm trying to see where the sticking point is.
Well, I don't have a problem with that paragraph. But,
okay.
Lars, if you take us down to one of the rough consensus ones, I'm I'm more reacting to that. So now we're at 5.2.4.3. I'm a little uncomfortable putting that in there because James and I haven't really polled the rest of you. And so I would prefer to just see that earlier language repeated through all of these so that we're saying, look, we haven't done the consensus call yet. We will do it after public comments are in, and not try to characterize consensus at this stage in the process. That's where I'm at.
I see that now, Mikey, and I agree. I think we should step back from this particular characterization and just use the same language throughout.
Can I just add something very quickly? Sorry, this is Lars.
Yeah, go ahead, Lars. I thought Mikey still had the floor back there. Go ahead.
I'm very happy to change it out. It's not a problem. We'll change it around. No problem. Just the reason why I put that in, if you read the 5.4.3, it obviously says in the second half of the first paragraph that it should be noted that no formal consensus call was undertaken. And the reason that we put in it appears to have rough consensus is that it was to indicate to the community that this is where the group seems to be heading. I just want to explain where it was coming from. This is where the community is heading, but nothing formal has been undertaken. So
I don't think there's any harm necessarily
in that. I'll swap it around. There's no problem. I'll take him out and use the one that we had before for all the six preliminary level of consensus paragraphs. Not a problem.
Okay, and I think it's the distinction, the difference between the two that might highlight. I think there's a case to be made on both sides. I mean, we very clearly, as a working group, tackled these last two charter questions very quickly because we realized that they were very non-controversial and we could dispose of them fairly readily. And I think that it is correct to try and capture that. But in the language here, it almost it may be just getting out in front of that a little bit and saying that these things are already baked. So just to be safe, I think the conservative approach is just to use the same language throughout, even though I think that within the confines of this working group, everyone understands that these questions would take a very significant bit of overlooked insight that would have to be sent our way via the public comments for us to change positions on these at this stage in the game. So I think all of that is fair. But I think just as Mikey said, to play it safe, we should take a step back. So, okay. What else, Mikey? You had, Lars, you said that was towards the end. Mikey, you said you had some other concerns, or?
This is Mikey. No, I'm all good. I think we've covered all the changes. I think this is the chance for the rest of you. You've all been pretty quiet, and I like James, think that's fine as long as you're comfortable with where we're at. But if you are uncomfortable, do know that it's perfectly okay, even at this late stage in the game, to say, look, I'm still not there on something. I mean, some of these we've acknowledge that we're not there and we have work to do yet, but I just want to make sure that people feel comfortable and not feel like they're being sort of pressured into a group decision that they're uncomfortable with. So this is sort of the very last chance, but by all means, open arms offer to let people comment. Otherwise, I think we're ready to, as James said at the top of the call, put an exclamation mark on this one and send it off to be included in the work. I'll hand it back to you, James, to run the queue.
Thanks, Mikey. Just to echo what Mikey said, it's not welding the door shut for any changes or edits. But I think, you know, also I recognize that ICANN and particularly these transfer working groups are full of veterans, and I would expect that if someone has a problem, they're not shy. It's something that we are all cursed with is, you know, introversion. So, but Chris, you're up next.
Yes, thank you. Sort of speaking as one of the more silent members, but yes, thanks, James, thanks, Mikey, for stating that. I suppose, of course, I can only speak for myself, but it's a question of us being on board and in good hands is where we feel it and heading in the right direction. So if there was something I would fight against, I mean, I don't quite have the same experience as many others in this field of these transfers, of dealing them day in, day out, so I'm sort of hanging on a little bit by my coattails, but no problem. I'm happy to speak up if there's something I was unhappy about. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris, and I would say don't discount your years of experience with these transfer working groups. You're a part of a select few, probably, you know, a couple dozen people on planet Earth that know the IRTP policy inside and out. So thanks for this, and I think that is there anyone else that would like to weigh in, either give us your thumbs up, an approval to go forward, or if there's something maybe that's just been maybe just a little uncomfortable with, and you feel like, you know, I'm just not going to sleep really well tonight unless I get this last bit on the record, this is an opportunity for that as well. We could go around the horn and ask for everyone in the queue to give a go, no go, Mikey, if you think that would be useful.
This is Mikey. I don't feel the need to put people on the spot, but you know, the stakes here aren't terribly high because this is an initial report. We will get public comments, I'm sure. We will certainly have plenty of opportunity to revise this. You know, my main goal is just to make sure that if there's something that people have felt we missed or whatever, that we get it out on the floor. But I'm fine if people are fine. Thanks.
Thanks. Angie?
Yeah, this is Angie Graves. I just wanted to say, I think I'm officially just an observer at this point, but I wanted to say that I appreciate all the work that's gone into this, and I'm very much in agreement with it. So moving on to the next phase. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Angie. Appreciate the vote of confidence in the direction of the group so far. And I think, Mike, you're right. It's not like it's high stakes on the issue. It's just the next phase is to open this up to a broader audience and take what we worked on this while, our recommendations to the community, and see how much they love or hate our ideas. And I think that, and then proceed accordingly. So I think that we're on the right track for that next step, that next milestone. Okay, well, I see green check marks, and I see some healthy discussion in the chat. I think that Lars, is that the candidate language for that bit about IRTPB?
Yeah, I put down just a sentence in front of it.
Yeah.
And I was wondering whether that's okay. I mean, you'd be happy with that kind of wording for the time being.
I think that's fine. I would ask everyone to please take a look at that. And it's really just the prepending of that first sentence to that paragraph that we were discussing about IRTPC. I guess it's just a matter of personal style preference, whether that should be at the beginning of that or at the end. I really don't have strong feelings either way, so my inclination would be that we accept that and just include that sentence and then go forward. I'm looking to see if there's any hands that are raised or red marks in the queue, and there's Mikey. Go ahead.
This is Mikey again. Having been battling the passive voice, I feel like a weary warrior against the passive voice. So I would join James in saying, let's put the positive statement first and then the negative rather than the other way around. And other than that, it seems fine. Thanks.
Okay, Lars, there's two votes then to move it after the larger paragraph as opposed to the beginning, but otherwise I think you've got the...
No problem.
Okay. All right, everyone. Well, look, it's about a quarter till the top of the hour. We're all getting ourselves busy by nodding our heads in agreement with one another. So I think that we are ready to submit this initial work product for consideration to all of the folks in the community at the Singapore meeting, and then to begin to open the public comment period. And I think that we're good here. Mikey, any thoughts? Any parting comments, or should we just...
This is Mikey. You know, just a hearty thanks to all, of course, to James and Lars and the rest of you on the working group. This is, you know, we're such a long-running working group that we practically complete each other's sentences, but... when you look back at the policy work that's come out of the GNSO, this is a big piece of the substantive policy that's come out of this organization over the last 3 or 4 years. And so a heartfelt round of applause to us all, I think. Back to you, James. Great job.
I just want to echo Mikey's comments. But thanks are sometimes implied but need to be more explicit. Thanks to everyone who stuck it out, all the IRTP diehards that made it this far. Certainly more work in the future for us, and so I would hope that you know, everyone is sufficiently invested so that we can continue once we get back from Singapore. But I think that we're good for this next checkpoint here. We'll kind of take a little bit of a breather, let everybody get on airplanes and finalize their travel plans, and then we will take another look at that. We should discuss next meetings. I don't believe that a meeting next week on the 10th of March is necessary or warranted. And then I think that then takes us into... Well, let's see, that would mean the 17th. So I guess we're saying now that the 10th and the 17th are probably unnecessary, so we could probably clear everyone's calendars for the next two. And then we will circle back to Singapore. Are we on the calendar in Singapore, correct, Lars, to present the initial report?
This is Lars. Yes, James. I believe we are on Wednesday at 10:30 until 12. 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. to be precise. I've seen a preliminary timetable. It's been on there, and I think the official one will be released this week, I believe. But we're definitely going to be on there at a humane time.
Excellent. So no need for coffee and danishes. So that will probably be the next time that we are all together. Both in person, face to face, and also for those that aren't attending Singapore, remote participation. So I think, as Mikey said here, anybody who's going, can you please put a green check into the Adobe room so that we can take a rough head count here? We've got Lars not going to Singapore.
What?
Oh, there we go.
Sorry,
okay, all right.
Man, that's creepy.
So Barbara, we're going to miss Barbara again, but unfortunately, but it does look like we've got a healthy turnout otherwise. So that's all I have. I guess that would be, let's get this out into the world. Let's see what the reaction is. Let's deliver it to Singapore and see what the audience take is on that. And I'll turn it over to Mikey for parting words. And if you want to wrap us up, please do so.
Okay, this is Mikey. Just one thing. We are on deck on Saturday, sort of mid-morning, in front of the GNSO Council. So if anybody's there for the Council work, or the GNSO, I guess, not Council, but GNSO working sessions, please swing by. And then, Lars, you and James and I probably should put together some sort of slide deck for that session on Wednesday. Go ahead, Lars.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. I'm actually working that working on that at the moment. But I'm going to send something out to you later on this week for the weekend session. A couple of slides. It's no problem.
Yeah, I would tend to focus on the recommendations and some of the rationale stuff.
Absolutely.
Sounds great. Okay. Well, I get to wrap us up. That's pretty cool. Thanks, all. We'll see you in Singapore. Have good flights for those of you that are going. And Barbara, it's only a 12-hour time zone difference. We expect to see you bright and shiny at 10:30 at night. That's it for me. See you, gang.
Safe travels, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. See you in Singapore.
Bye.
See you there.
Bye.